In the quest to be relevant, we need to be aware and beware that we don't mislead or distort the good news, that we don't water down the message, that we don't lose sight of the one to whom the gospel points, to the one who in fact embodies the gospel, to the good news, and as we heard last week, the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. There are many styles, many forms, many strategies to attract people to our churches, aren't there? But if we lose sight of the essential message, then it's all to no avail. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Now, it's a similar story when he comes upon James and John. What causes these men to leave everything they knew? Their business, their security, their comfort, to follow this itinerant preacher who has recently appeared on the scene? What has made countless men and women down through the ages sacrifice these same things for the sake of becoming a follower? We come to this time in the story as we look at this beginning of Mark's Gospel. As John the Baptist's ministry draws to a close, Jesus now steps forward. "Come, follow me." They went on to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one with authority, not as the teachers of the law. When I was playing football, that's a long time ago now, friends, I remember one day I was able to run for 7 quarters. They were short in the reserves, so I played the reserves and then I played the seniors. They gave me 1 quarter off in the reserves. I can hardly kick a football to my grandsons now. I'm worried I'm going to put my knee out. Or I puff after a couple of quick dashes. Anybody else feel like that here this morning? No? Yeah? Got grey hair as well. Yeah, I got a bit of that. I played under a few coaches when I was playing football, and I can remember in particular 2 of them, and it's really sad. I can picture one. He was Graham, and I can't for the life of me remember his surname, maybe just as well. He demanded compliance with his every direction and his game plan, and it always seemed that his demands and his own example as a playing coach never really seemed to line up. Do you see people like that whose actions and words don't seem to line up? He lacked authority because of that. You always felt that you were being used by him to bring him glory when you were winning and scapegoated when you were losing. In contrast, for the towering figure of David Hunterman, I can remember his name clearly. He was a big man. He was our ruckman, captain and coach. I remember one day I was a follower and a rover at that stage, and I flew against him in a boundary throw-in. He turned to me and said, "I'm the ruckman, you're the follower, you never do that again." I would have been willing to run through a brick wall for him. We accord authority to such men and women, don't we? Knowing that they won't ask us to do anything that they're not willing to do themselves. We grant them an inherent authority. And if to such men and women, how much more to the Son of God? His authority shone through, not as the teachers of the law, but an inherent authority that came from God himself. We go on to see that his authority is recognised, even if not always by the world. In this reading, at least by the prince of the world, by Satan himself. I find it interesting that while so many in the world seem blinded to who Jesus is and the authority that he has, the evil one never has such doubts. Throughout the New Testament, when the evil one is confronted by the person of Jesus, he cowers and he yields to his authority. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Yet, friends, such knowledge is futile without truly knowing Jesus. It's not just knowing about Jesus, is it? Satan had that knowledge. He knew about Jesus. He even knew the authority and the power that he possessed. But he didn't know Jesus. It's truly knowing Jesus, putting our faith and trust in him, that makes all of the difference. It's only then that we can know the freedom he offers. Be quiet. Come out of him. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare one of the children down the back there. Be quiet. Come out of him. The little lad just looked at me and I thought, better be careful. His authority over evil and evil spirits and over Satan himself. In other passages, we see his authority over nature. We see his authority over sickness. And we see his authority over death itself. But surely it's his authority to forgive sin that is at the heart of the good news. Let me say that again. Surely it's his authority to forgive sin that is at the heart of the good news. And it's this message of forgiveness we have to proclaim as his church. You too can find forgiveness and release from the things that bind you. You too can find new life and freedom to be all you were created to be by putting your faith and trust in this one, in Jesus and what he has done for you. That's the good news, isn't it? Freedom from the sin that so easily entangles, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. Freedom from discouragement that can so easily afflict us. Freedom from the pain and suffering that can so easily overwhelm. Friends, none of these can stand against the power and authority of Jesus. He calms troubled hearts. He bears with us the burdens of our lives. He opens new vistas, in the words of the psalmist, to pastures greening, leading us beside still waters. And even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us, his rod and his staff comforting us. This is the one who has authority. And the good news is he has the authority to forgive. I've heard people say, "I can't forgive myself." Maybe for something said or done in the past. Maybe somebody here this morning has that burden on their hearts. Such forgiveness, friends, is not our prerogative. An offence done is not against ourselves, but against another, and ultimately against God himself. King David, when confessing his sin for the adultery with Bathsheba, cried out in anguish, "Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Now, I don't want you to get me wrong there. We may be called on to seek forgiveness of others for wrongs done or for words said, but ultimately It is his to forgive. And it is his forgiveness that brings freedom from being bound by those things that would otherwise hold us. We're told in Scripture all of us have gone astray. The Apostle John tells us if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Friends, we are all in need of forgiveness. We are all in need of forgiveness. And there's only one who holds the key. Only one who has the authority to grant us pardon and to reinstate us in our relationship with the Father, with God himself. And that one is Jesus. Friends, I don't care where you're sitting in this auditorium this morning. Now is the time. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near, we read last week in our reading from the beginning part of Mark. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This good news that forgiveness is available to all. If you're someone here this morning harbouring unconfessed sin, if you're someone with bitterness or hatred in your heart that you find impossible to release, if you are someone who keeps taking back the pains and hurts of yesterday, or who bears malice or hatred or ill will in your heart, if you're someone who is resisting the call of God in your life or living disobediently to him, then now is the time. Time to bow your head. Time to fall on your knees and seek God's forgiveness. Now is the time. And so I'm going to give you some time. If you harbour some of those things, if you're bound by sin, if you are in need of the freedom that only God can give, now is the time. I don't care if you bow your head, if you kneel, if you run around the church in church tight circles, if you come forward and seek prayer, if you turn to somebody who's trusted and have them pray for you, now is the time. So let's spend some time doing business with God. The good news, friends, is if you have prayed that prayer and sought that forgiveness, then you are free. Jesus is the one who promises that forgiveness. He has the authority to grant that forgiveness. People were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching and with authority?" He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. He forgives sins, and sins are forgiven. A forgiveness only he can give. The teachers quoted human authorities. Jesus spoke the very words of God, of freedom and of forgiveness, of reinstatement in relationship with him. No wonder Simon and Andrew, James and John laid down their nets and followed. No wonder so many through the centuries have followed their example. No wonder so many, no wonder the impact his claim has on our lives if we truly believe and put our faith and trust in him. So then what are we called on to do to be as his church, as his followers in 21st century Melbourne? In our neighbourhood, in our community, in our city, as we commence this new year. A new gospel for a new generation? I think not. The old hymn says we have a gospel to proclaim, good news for all throughout the earth, the gospel of a Saviour's name. We sing his glory, tell his worth. Will we open ourselves as individuals and as his church to respond like those first disciples? To come, follow him, and be sent out. Here surely is the call for the church in this day and age. And we pray that as for those early hearers, news about him spread quickly, not just over the whole region of Galilee as in his day, but across the whole of his world. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us to walk in your footsteps. Fill us with your Spirit, that we might truly know your grace and mercy in our lives, and speak words of hope and life into our community. May our words ring true and sure, that many might turn from their own ways to worship and follow you, the one and only true God, sustainer and saviour of the world. In your precious name and to your honour and glory we pray. Amen.